Our dear Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence grateful to thee for thy goodness and thy love to us. We thank thee for our well-rounded day. We thank thee for the lesson this morning on the tabernacle and the applications of the types. We thank thee for the study on the new creation. And now particularly we remember the devotional hour now. As we sing and read the poetry, we pray that thou would inspire us and bless us according to thy wisdom. We're mindful of our brethren everywhere at this time, those who are in special need. We pray for thy glorious kingdom to come. And now we pray thy presence with us in this devotional on the subject of joy. For we ask it in dear Jesus' name. Amen.
As Brother Arthur mentioned in his prayer, our subject for our devotional this afternoon is joy. And so quite appropriately, our pianist for this afternoon is also joy. Probably the most familiar psalm in the Bible, Psalm 23, well expresses the life of a child of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Note the emphasis on the positive side of the Christian walk. The blessings of serenity, the tranquility that should pervade our lives, the abundance of blessing from the Lord's word to the point of overflowing, and the assurance of our Father's care and overruling providence over us. It is true that all our experiences do not produce an outward exuberance. We, like our Master, are permitted to have dark hours in which we must exercise faith and look to our Heavenly Father and trust in his promises never to leave or forsake us. And we would not minimize the gravity of such experiences, nor overlook the Christian growth which results when they are properly endured. But we would like to remind ourselves that the joy of a Christian in most cases far exceeds the sorrow and grief of this way. And so we thought this afternoon we would try to emphasize the joy of our walk in both song and in word. I'm sure that many of you remember with fondness our brother Wylam. But when we would have a song service, if you didn't sing loud enough or sing with enough enthusiasm, he was right there to stop the singing and ask you to sing like you really meant it when you sing to the Lord. And so we would ask you today that you would sing with a heart that is full of joy and show it by singing loudly. We would like to begin with a group that we have asked to sing for you. And they will sing hymn 247, Rejoice and Be Glad.
Glad. The Lord is faithful, his force and his
Thank you, brethren. So many reasons we have to be glad. The Redeemer has come, and he liveth again. He has come for his jewels, and his kingdom is nigh. Certainly those are causes for us to joy over. We would like now to have our sister Violet Turk read for us Psalm 100.
Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
The Lord admonishes us to come before his presence with singing, to remember in our experiences, to look for those things which will bring us joy that the Lord sends our way. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And that should be the theme of our lives, to remember the Lord's guidance, his direction, and his overruling providence, and to acknowledge it before his people. In the book called the Angelophone Records that were put out by Pastor Russell in the early part of this century, there were a number of hymns, and each one was introduced by a page that gave a little bit of background to this hymn or an application of the words from the hymn. This afternoon we'd like Brother Bob Whitaker to read the introduction for the next song that we will be singing. The title of it is, How Can We Keep From Singing?
How can we keep from singing? This glorious hymn most wonderfully pictures the joy of the Christian's faith. The experience of the Christian should not be an evanescent one. Outwardly, he may have the same sorrows as others, but inwardly, he has the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, ruling in his heart. It is like living in a new world, wherein the clamor of the present time is indeed heard, but not so much heeded, because he hears the ringing of the music of the new dispensation. The Christian's heart is with his Lord. His expectations are not for earthly wealth or fame, but for kingdom glories, honors, privileges, and services. Even now he rejoices in his wonderful opportunities for serving. He is an ambassador for Christ, a representative of the coming kingdom, a finger post, a director for those who are feeling after God and wishing to be in harmony with him. As years go by, the Christian's experiences, if they are proper ones, grow richer and richer. Earthly joys and comforts may be taken away to prove his faithfulness and loyalty to God, but the fact that he is still in relationship to the Father and the Son is a source of continuous pleasure. It offsets all his losses. His faith grows stronger under trials. His inmost calm is the more serene. He looks forward trustingly, realizing his Master to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He feels like singing, yea, often like shouting, so filled is he with the Spirit and a sense of the divine presence. The apostle admonishes, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And this thought is imaged near the close of this hymn. As we lift our eyes more and more to the heavenly things, the intervening clouds become less and less, and the realities of the future life deepen their impression upon us. The pathway, so narrow and rugged, gradually smooths as the child of God gets a firmer hold upon his old nature and brings it into subjection to the new mind. He learns to love the narrow way, not merely because of the glorious outcome at its further end, when he will be received into his Father's house on high, but also because of present privileges of service in this way. The storms of life, its sorrows, its tears, do not penetrate so deeply as once they did. They are counted as light afflictions. All things are mine, since I am his, the Christian joyfully sings. The development of the Church of Christ is the great work of God for the present age. All the powers of heaven are enlisted. Soon, however, the great work of blessing the world will begin, for the millennial age is already dawning.
What a high standard the pastor puts before us when he says that the Christian learns to love the narrow way, not merely because of the glorious outcome, but also because of the present privileges. Do we esteem it a joy to have this walk in the narrow way? If so, let us sing about it. Hymn 179, How Can I Keep From Singing? In our hymn book, it's called Endless Song, which is also a very appropriate title for it. Hymn 179. Sister Florence Trezina to read to us an excerpt from reprint 2232.
What are our joys which no man taketh from us, and which persecution and afflictions and trouble can only deepen and widen and make more sweet? What joy is this? This joy is a foretaste of the blessings to come, an earnest of our inheritance. It is inspired by confidence in Him on whom we have believed, confidence that He is both able and willing to perfect the work which He has begun and which we desire shall be perfected in His own best way, confidence that so long as we are firmly holding to His gracious promises with the arms of our faith, He will not permit us to be separated from Him. Who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ? Shall tribulation and persecution? Our confidence is that no one is able to pluck us out of the Father's hand, and that the Father himself loveth us and will not turn us away so long as we desire to abide obediently in his love. Yea, we are confident that all things are working together for good to those who love God, confident that he who is for us is more powerful than all who can be against us. Such confidence is sure to bring joy beyond the world's comprehension and a peace of God that passeth all understanding, which keeps the heart. Wherever Christians find themselves without this joy of the Lord, and where they have no song in the house of their pilgrimage, they have reason to fear that there is something wrong, that the connections between their own hearts and the Lord are not full and complete. If they are unacquainted with this joy and these songs, it is because they have either never fully accepted the Lord as their portion and consecrated themselves to his service, or else because certain false doctrines have so terrorized their minds and so completely enslaved them to fear that trustful joys are impossible to them. Such should at once take the proper steps, either to make their consecration to the Lord complete, so that he can put his Spirit into them as members of his body, and give them the seal of adoption, and cause them to know the joys of his salvation.
The Father himself loveth us. What a profound statement that we find in Scripture. And certainly it bears upon us to consider and to meditate upon this and ponder it in our minds, so that we might realize that the greatest being in the whole universe has taken an interest in us and is overruling for our benefit, so that we may come off more than overcomers, and that we might spend eternity in his presence. What joy should fill our hearts from such a contemplation of such a profound statement. Let's sing together hymn 203, Happy Day.
Well, may this
and live rejoicing every day. What a goal to put before us. That's what should be our goal. Our next hymn is going to be hymn 37, but we've asked Sister Alice Schneider to read from the Angelophone introductions, "The Fount of Every Blessing."
The Fount of Every Blessing. The Bible presents the great Jehovah God as the fountain of all blessings, both to angels and to men, the Father of mercies, from whom cometh down every good and perfect gift. 2 Corinthians 1:3, James 1:17. We properly appreciate our Lord Jesus Christ as the honored channel through which divine blessings come to us. But we must look to the Heavenly Father chiefly, as the Apostle has directed, saying, "All things are of the Father, all things are by the Son." 1 Corinthians 8:6. Similarly, God's people may feel grateful to their fellows of the church, to friends, and to the world for blessings and privileges, honors, and opportunities. But it should never be forgotten that God is the fountain of blessings, and that others communicate these blessings only through divine grace. We should feel an appreciation of the sunshine and the rain, of the flowers and the birds, remembering always the great source. Out of full hearts, God's instructed people sing, "Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart a song to raise. Streams of favor, never ceasing, call for notes of heartfelt praise." The people of God should be the most happy, the most cheerful, and the most thankful of all people. Evidently, a distinct blessing comes to every home in which the fountain of all blessing is praised. This thought was connected with the preparation of the Angelophone music discs. They carry beautiful and soul-stirring hymns into many homes under the leadership of a good voice. We trust that many hearts may be started to singing his praises, from whom cometh all blessings. But the word song is used in another sense in the Bible. The whole gospel message is styled a song, because of its beautiful harmony, richness, sweetness, and cadence. Thus the sons of God are said now to sing a new song, which none others can learn, Revelation 14:3. While they sing and make melody in their hearts to the Lord, these melodies permeate their lives, and thus sound forth his praises, who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. Oh, that the life of every Christian might bear a harmonious symphony to all his companions. How much this would do toward banishing tears and sorrow and shedding rays of light on the pathway of those whose walk in the valley of the shadow of death. Great blessings go with such heart-singing Christians. Their presence, their influence, their tone of voice, all show forth the praises of the fountain of blessing, directing the attention of the world to this great fount.
Thank you, Sister Alice. Certainly, we must recognize our Heavenly Father as the source of all our blessings. But are we really the most happy, the most cheerful, and the most thankful of all people? We should be. We should recognize that God is dealing with us in a special way. And so we should be ready to sing his praises whenever we have the opportunity. You notice Brother Russell's words when he says, "Oh, that the life of every Christian might bear a harmonious symphony to all his companions." He didn't say our voices, but he said our life should be that. But now we're going to have the voices of our brethren who sang to us before sing the fount of every blessing. To have our brother David Skeen read to us an excerpt from reprint 1915.
The Apostle Paul surely caught the blessed inspiration when he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Mark how all through the Word of God we are taught not only to be sober, vigilant, diligent, thoughtful, prayerful, and always abounding in the work of the Lord through whatsoever it may bring of toil or care or reproach or persecution, but in the midst of any and all of these experiences, we are taught to be happy and to be filled with the inspiration of a holy joy. And not only are we counseled to be joyous, but the manner of life which naturally produces this joy is pointed out to us. When we come into the Lord's family, we enter a new and holy atmosphere, which those only can realize and appreciate who have the one desire above, referred to paramount to every other, that is, to be counted worthy to abide continually in the house of the Lord. Do not count when day is o'er, daily loss from life's rich store, but the gains, however small, count them daily one and all. Every tender glance and tone, every kindly deed you've known, let all evil things go by. Still, with brave endeavor, try simple joys to multiply. And thus you'll learn how large a sum will with faithful reckoning come.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let's sing together hymn 235, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Slow to chide and swift to bless. In his hands he gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes. Certainly this should call for praise to our everlasting King. We ask Sister Barbara Jesuit to read from us an excerpt from reprint 3547.
Many are the objections that are raised to pure and undefiled religion. Some complain that it is gloomy, joyless, a fetter upon the heart and brain, that it drives men from every temple of pleasure with a whip of small cords, that it posts notice, no trespassing here, in every field of enjoyment. Our answer must be that this is a mistake. That these are the words of those who know not, neither do they understand the things whereof they speak. Those who have truly made a covenant with the Lord, who have truly accepted Him, who have truly laid down their lives at His feet and become His followers in sincerity, are filled with His joy, as He promised, and it is an increasing joy, which day by day and year by year becomes more nearly complete, a joy which will not be complete, however, until that which is perfect shall come, and that which is in part shall be done away, until in the resurrected condition we shall see as we are seen and know as we are known and appreciate to the full the joys of our Lord, hearing his welcome invitation, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. We enter now into those joys through faith, through anticipation, through rest of heart, but by and by we shall enter upon them in the actual sense. Meantime, it is the world that has not submitted itself to the Lord, that has not appreciation of the joys of the Lord, that is full of selfishness and ambition and strife and envy. It knoweth us not, even as it knew him not. It knows not our joys in the Master's service, even as it never appreciated the joys of our Lord in doing the Father's will, even at the sacrifice of his life.
Thank you. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. Certainly, when we consider this from the standpoint of the future, it puts a hope before us to want to attain to that when we might hear those words from our Master. And yet, if we are living up to our privileges daily, we should be entering into the joys of our Lord, even this side the veil. As you came in today, the deacons passed out a copy of a hymn that is found in the reprints. And we thought we would sing it together today because it seems to be very fitting to our subject of joy. We've asked Sister Joy to play the hymn through for us first, and then we will sing all four verses together. Fullness of Joy. Thank you. fullness of joy. We'd ask Sister Kathy to read Psalm 92, verses 1 through 8.
It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy works. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore.
It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto the Most High. Certainly, this should be the theme of our lives when we realize the way the Lord cares for us in all of our walk through in this narrow way. We thought in closing it would be good to sing hymn 342, Gladness Will Come to Stay. Because it sings of that day when not only those who know the Lord now, but all the world of mankind will know the Lord and sing praises to His name. So let us all together sing hymn 342, Gladness Will Come to Stay. We'll stand for the singing of the last stanza, and we'll ask Brother Art Cook to close our meeting this day with prayer. Hymn 342.
Waking to know that our Father's blessing. Our gracious Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of coming together in praise and thanks to Thee for Thy great name's sake and Thy wonderful mercy and kindness and love and favor and blessing. We thank Thee that in our private studies we also may draw nigh to Thee in closeness of spirit and in love and in respect for Thy wonderful word and wonderful promises and blessings to us. As we go our separate ways, we ask Thy blessing with us, to be with us, keep us through the coming week, and help us to bear down on that mark for which we run, even the prize of the high calling. And again, we thank Thee for such wonderful grace and such a wonderful plan and such a wonderful gifts that Thou wilt give to all of Thy children, especially those who love Thee in a special way. We pray for those that are Thine in every place, especially those in need, and bless them as Thou knowest best, our brother Ron and sister Wendt and others in special need everywhere. And these things we ask and praise Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.